Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. I'm doing all right.
Oh, good.
All right. So, everybody, as you already may know, this is Demi Monde Paranormal Podcast, and I have a very special guest speaker with us. This is Nina. You want to give yourself a little introduction?
Hi, my name is Nina Turbile. I'm from Meriden, Connecticut. I wrote two paranormal stories. One book. The first book was about my experience living in a haunted house, and then the second book is collections of people's stories about their paranormal experiences. I also was featured on, my story was featured on My Paranormal Nightmare.
I don't know if I've seen that episode or not, but I'll be sure to check it out. And any of you guys, the listeners, can check that out as well. So what story do you have planned for us to hear today?
Well, I have my, I would like to tell my story about my experience with a spirit board and fooling around with other occult items in a house that was already haunted from my childhood.
Oh, okay. It sounds like a recipe for disaster, but...
Oh, yeah. I learned it the hard way, so...
Yes, so we already got ghosts in the house, and now we're about to bring in more, basically.
Yes. Like opening a portal, I guess. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's that?
Go ahead. I was going to start the story. I didn't know if you want me to start it or...
Oh, that's fine. You can start whenever you want to. That's what I was about to ask.
Okay. I was around like 15 at the time. I was always into the paranormal. And then when I became a teenager, I started like fooling around with occult objects like tarot cards, spirit boards, collecting books like conjuring books. Like I said, like already in a haunted house. Like my dad had experiences when he was a child. And then we had like on and off paranormal experiences throughout my childhood. But I bought a spirit board, fooled around with that, and it didn't work right away. So I also was like, you know, reading from a book that you would conjure spirits, conjure like old.
Uh-oh, I think we lost connection. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. Sorry, there's a little cutout in sound. I thought we lost you.
I live on a hill, so you might, like, I might come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So I woke up with something growling in my ear and I couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too scared to open my eyes. So I just like, you know, was praying like for it to go away. Well, eventually it like, you know, I was able to move. And this happened every single night at the same time. Like with something growling in my ear, not being able to move. Eventually, I did get the courage to open my eyes, and standing by my bed was a black hooded shadow figure.
Oh my lord.
Just watching me. Yeah.
Oh my, that sounds terrifying. Oh my god. And this was in your dad's ancestral home?
It was my dad got a divorce from my mother, so we moved with his parents at their
home. Oh, okay.
And the home is about built in maybe early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an older house, but not that old. Like, because in Connecticut we have houses from the 1800s. Like, we have older colonial homes.
Right, right.
So I saw this black hooded shadow figure. And eventually I was able to move. So I had to leave my bed to run across the room to turn on my light switch, because I didn't have a lamp next to my bed. It was just the switch on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this, like I said, it happened every night at pretty much the same time. Right. The early mornings, at 3 o'clock, 3:15.
Oh.
Yeah. So I got tired of having these experiences. I thought it was just from the house being haunted and not from me playing around with things. So I, across the street, my aunt lived. So I decided to live across the street, thinking mm-hmm. it would end the paranormal activity.
Right.
So it followed me across the street. Same thing happened over there. One particular night, I woke up not being able to move. And floating above me was this black shadow figure, but it had two glowing eyes with slits. It reminded me of cat's eyes, how they would have those slits.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Just floating above me.
Oh my god.
And then another night, something was laughing at, it was a scary, hideous laugh.
Oh my. I cannot explain. That sounds absolutely terrifying.
It was really terrifying. So eventually I got a babysitting job Monday through Friday. I went next, the next town over me was where my aunt needed me to babysit. So Monday through Friday, I was over there now. So I moved to three different locations thinking I would end this paranormal activity. Moved to my aunt's house Monday through Friday in the next town over. Well, that night, the light above me, she had a light above the bed in the guest room where I was staying, was turning on and off crazy. And this light, you had to physically touch it. And mm-hmm. it would the first time you would touch it, it would be a dim light, and then you would have to touch it again and it would be brighter, and then the third touch it would just turn off. Well, it was going on and off, it was going the three stages, the dim, bright, and then off.
Mm-hmm. Wow, just really, it's just amazing that it's almost how they say in The Conjuring, when they say a haunting is like stepping in gum, you take it wherever you go. I think we lost her again.
I'm here.
Okay.
So, I left the room, but I had to tiptoe down the hallway because I was passing their bedrooms. The first bedroom, it was my aunt's and uncle's. And then, because I was just going to sleep on the in the living room on the couch. Like, I had enough. But before I went to the into the living room, I had to pass my little cousin's room. And I heard, like, whispering. Like, I thought he was talking to someone. I thought he was up talking to someone. Not talking to someone, but talking to himself. Like how sometimes little kids will do. So I kept quiet, and I just decided to not disturb him and just, like, go to bed in the living room. Well, the next morning, I told my aunt, like, oh, I think, you know, your son was up. And she's like, no, he fell asleep in our room. He was there the whole night. So I don't know what was in that bedroom talking. Like, I don't know if he wanted me to go in that bedroom to investigate. Like, I don't know, like, what happened. Eventually, I went back to my grandparents' house where, you know, where I used to live, because it's just, it's following me everywhere. There was one weekend that my dad went to Rhode Island camping. We would always go camping in Rhode Island for, like, a long weekend. Well, I decided to stay home just so I could sleep. In my grandparents' house, we only had the AC in the living room. So I decided to sleep down in the basement where there was, like, a pull-out couch, and or it could be just be a sofa. And that was, like, the second coolest spot. So I slept there. And also, like, that's where, like, we would watch TV, too. Well, that night I woke up with something running down the basement steps. I assumed it was my dad, like, totally forgetting he was in a camping trip in Rhode Island. Because he would work, like, third shift or second shift, and he would come home late, and he would always go down there to watch TV before he, like, would go to bed. So I thought it was my dad until I couldn't move. And I looked, and in the doorway, there was, like, this goat figure. Like, it had a goat's head, but the face part was, it was, like, censored out. Like, you couldn't see its face, but I saw its horns. It was, like, a little bit over 6 feet tall, with claws and goat feet. And it kept on, like, disappearing and reappearing until it got to the couch where I was laying. And it told me to go upstairs. So I was able to move, and I ran around it and went upstairs. It told me, go upstairs, your grandmother wants you. So I went upstairs thinking, you know, why would it say that? So I went into the living room where my grandma fell asleep watching TV, and she was asleep. Till this day, I don't know why it told me to go upstairs that my grandmother wanted me. The only thing I could think of is there was one, like, couple of days afterwards that my grandmother said, you know, be careful, Nina. I keep on having these recurring dreams about you signing a book with the devil. You're signing your name in a book with the devil. And at the time, I was fooling around with, like, it was much darker stuff that I was fooling around with. The last straw I had was one night it started threatening my family, like it was going to kill my family. That I had enough. Like, at this, like, this happened for 2 whole months. It happened, like, for a whole summertime. Me going, like, you know, falling asleep, and then this thing waking me up with growling in my ears. And every time, like, it eventually got worse. It didn't stop. It, like, if I fell back to sleep from the attack, it would happen all over again until it was daylight.
Oh, so my.
I totally understand. I don't know if you guys watched the movie Nightmare on Elm Street, how the kids don't want to go to sleep. Like, I totally get that.
Right, right.
It's like I crave the sleep because, like, my body needs it. But then it's like I don't want to go to sleep. The last time it threatened, like, it was going to kill my family. And that's when I, you know, decided to get rid of the board, get rid of my, like, my books, get rid of everything. And when I did that night that I got rid of everything, it came to me and told me it was going to come back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, eventually, like, you know, once in a while I would have, I guess you would call it, like, sleep paralysis, but it's like I wasn't sleeping. Like, I know I was up. I wasn't having a dream. 'Cause other family members, like, stuff was happening to them, too, at this, like, around the same time. I remember when I was married, I just had my son, and he was upstairs in his bassinet by the bed, and I was watching TV but also on my phone. And
right.
The room was dark because I didn't want the baby to wake up, and the only light we had was from the TV. And all of a sudden, because I was looking down on my phone, I noticed that the TV was going out. So I thought the TV was, like, we were going to lose the picture because it was an old TV. It was working, but it was an old TV. It was like a box back. Mm-hmm. When everyone had the flat screen TV, we still had one of those old box back TV in the bedroom.
Right.
But it wasn't breaking. There was a hooded shadow figure walking in front of the TV, and it went into the other side of the wall. Like a year or two ago, I'm older now. We moved into a house, and the only thing happened here was we heard, I guess, phantom music, and then my son had an experience downstairs where he said he saw a shadow figure in the bathroom going back and forth. And he was like, when he ran up to me, he was in tears saying he saw it looked like a shadow going back and forth in the bathroom.
Well, I said it had to be utterly horrifying for a poor little guy.
Yeah. I know my brother has experience because I, like, reading about it, I know, like, it would, because I believe it's an attachment because I was fooling around with things that, like I said, I shouldn't have fooled around, because I know my brother has his own experience with a shadow figure, because when I was writing the book, I was going to have some of their stories in the book, and he told me, like, yeah, his son saw a shadow figure, and he never knew why his son didn't want to sleep in his bedroom. Mm-hmm. And recently he asked his older son, he's like, yeah, because there is a shadow that would come into my room.
Oh my.
And my brother said when he was moving out of the condo, he heard, like, crashing upstairs in his son's room. So he went upstairs to peek, like, what was that? Because no one else was in the condo, just my brother. So he's right. Like, forget this. Like, I'm going down. Like, I'm leaving. Because you get that feeling like there's something in the room. And you get that, I guess, like, fight or flight. Like, you're like, scared, but you don't know what you're scared of. Because you can't see it. Well, he went into his truck and he felt like something was watching him. So he looked up, and the window in his son's room, there was a black shadow figure staring down at him.
Oh, my. Oh, my God.
So I think it's like an attachment, like, because it did say it was going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm still waiting. Like, I saged my house. Of course, I don't play with spirit boards anymore. I don't fool around with any like occult matter. Like, I'll, not that I think it's bad, it's just like because of my haunting, I don't want whatever, because I like it, like I really think like I might have gotten possessed because I was on like my personality changed. Like, I'm usually like a happy-go-lucky, very calm, but during this, like, I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, irritable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole personality just changed. Not in a good way, like, you know. So I think it was breaking me down.
Right. I mean, they say that, like, evil spirits prey on your weakest moments in life. Mm-hmm. So it probably knew some, you know, some weakness that you hadn't fed off of it.
I mean, because I was a teenager too, so I wasn't like that happy, like, because I was like, you know, you're just a teenager, like, I don't know, like moody and, but I wasn't that moody, but it's like, you know, I was, my parents got a divorce, like,
mm-hmm. Also, wait, I wanted to mention when you talked about when you were with your aunt and your uncle and you were talking about your cousin talking to himself, it could have been, you know, the spirit trying to trick you or manipulate you to going into that room because you hear a child, you know, talking and you automatically trust it and you would see what's going on.
That's what I was nervous. I'm like, wow, he was sleeping all, like, he was sleeping in my aunt's and uncle's bedroom the whole time. Because I'm like, what would have happened to me if I went into that room? Because I was trying to listen, but it's like, you couldn't, even if, like, the hardest, like, you're trying your hardest to listen, you couldn't distinguish, like, what it was saying. It was, like, those whispering, like, you could tell it was whispering, but you couldn't, like, you couldn't tell what it was saying. So I'm like, right. Oh, okay, like, let me just leave. Like, I just don't, like, at the time I thought it was him. I'm like, I just don't want him to, like, wake up the parents because they had to go to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be, like, the one to, like, make the kid, you know, be up. Like, I thought he was already up, but, like, you know, want to, like, go and play or something.
Right, right. It just kind of makes me think about this one story that I did for a podcast. And it was, I think it was like the Donovan, I mean, a little bit different of a situation. Mm-hmm. But it had to do with the Donovan poltergeist. And they said that they heard a baby crying just randomly. And there were no children in the house. And it just made me think about something that I learned from one of my ghost shows. And they said that if you hear, like, a child or a baby crying especially, it's that spirit trying to manipulate you into, you know, thinking that it's something that it isn't. It's a child, but it's actually not, you know? It's like a masquerade, or it's masquerading as a child.
Because that's how you would get me, because I'd be like, oh, it's a kid. Like, you know, how mm-hmm. you would feel bad.
Right.
I mean, because the other stuff that was happening before, it was, like, I had issues sleeping in my bedroom because it would feel like something was there at nighttime. I had a rug that had, like, foam on the bottom. So when mm-hmm. you walk, it, like, you could hear footsteps. Like, you would know someone's walking in the room. I would hear that at night, walking, like, someone, like, walking around my bed. I would hear my blinds going, like someone's trying to peek out the window.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's room was right next door, and my during the day, like, my room, I would always shut my room so no one would go in there, and he would see like shadows, like, walking in my room, and he would see like from the bottom of the door, like, you know how you could tell, like, someone's walking, like, there would be like a shadow. Mm-hmm. He would see that, knowing that I'm not home, I'm not there. There was one Sunday that my my grandparents, my dad was working and my grandparents went to visit one of my aunts and they just left.
Right.
Maybe for like 3 or 4 hours. Well, my brother, I don't know what happened. Like he hit me or something. Like it was going to start like a physical altercation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something, we heard a crash in my grandfather's room and then we heard this like cackling.
Oh my, yeah.
So we both like, you know, got scared, ran down the stairs and out the door. Eventually we had to come back in because we were told not to go outside, not to leave the house. And we wanted to see what the crashing noise was because we also wasn't allowed in my grandfather's room. But we mm-hmm. wanted to make sure like nothing was broken or out of place because we would have gotten in trouble for that. And we weren't in there. We were like in the hallway and a fight was going to like break out. So we looked and nothing was out of place and we still don't know where that cackling noise came from. There is another time that, I was sleeping and I woke up and I heard my grandmother downstairs in the living room watching TV. So I went downstairs cause I couldn't go back to sleep. So I went downstairs with her and, we had like a French door, French glass door that would, it would separate the hallway and the living room. That door was closed and I was sitting with her on the couch watching like one of her Spanish shows. And I looked at the French door and I noticed like my brother was just standing there and he was facing the wall. Like his face wasn't directly at us. Like he wasn't looking at us. He was looking at like another direction. And I told my grandma, like, why is he just standing there? Tell him to come in. And she saw him too. Cause she opened the French glass doors to tell him to come in and sit down and watch TV. And she turned, looked scared. And was like, there's no one there. And he was upstairs the whole time. So there's like little things that happened. Like my aunt and uncle lives there now. And once in a while, things will like stir up.
Mm-hmm. Every once in a while has its flare-ups. I think we lost her again. Give her a couple minutes or a couple seconds.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. He heard like a loud, like a door slam, and then he would see a full figure going up the stairs of a woman. And he thought it was my aunt, but when he called my aunt, she, you know, yelled. And she was outside. Like, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he told. Like, and he's a non-believer. And that's what, like, now he believes that, you know, because they would tell him stories, like, what happened in the house. And he just didn't believe it. And now he has his own experience.
Mm-hmm. At first, he was just brushing them off. You know, all things have an explanation. And then you, all of a sudden, you have an experience of your own. And you're like,
yeah.
No, I really can't explain that. Yeah, that would be really scary to experience. Let me tell y'all, some some stories that people experience in real life, it almost, you know, when you hear them, it almost sounds like a movie, but it's not. It's real life, and it's just fantastic to, you know, hear people's stories of what they really went through. And I mean, it's a terrifying reality, but ghosts do exist and spirits do exist, and there's deities on this earth that have been, you know, around for a long time. I think we lost her again. Well, until we get the connection back, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us for tonight's episode, or today's episode rather. I hope you guys enjoyed it as I did. It's a good story. It's a scary story, definitely. I don't know what I'd do in your situation. But I want to thank each one of our listeners for tuning in from all around the world. Hello, guys, and welcome to the story of the Barini family haunting. Now, this story is quite a doozy, so I'm just going to dive right in to tonight's episode. So, we begin the Barini haunting with when the haunting occurred. And the haunting occurred in New England in the late 1970s, but it did not end until the 1980s. Now, as I said before, the Barini family is a pseudonym for the real family that encountered these hauntings. So first and last names have been changed for privacy reasons. So husband and wife will call them Joe and Rose. Just moved in with Rose's two children from a previous marriage into Joe's ancestral home in the 1970s. However, Joe was not raised in that home when he was a child. And at first, when I first moved in, everything was fine. There was nothing unusual about it. But then, just a little while later, some unusual things started to occur. It was Rose who started to hear a disembodied voice of a child in the home. In her first encounter with a spirit, this was a spirit of a little girl. Now she heard the voice of a little girl say, "Mama, Mama, this is Serena." And after hearing this tale that his wife told him, Joe questions his family as who it could be. He knew that several people had died in the home. He was stunned to find out that he did, in fact, have a sister named Serena, who did die at the tender age of just 5. And like I said, this was Joe's ancestral home. The Barini's reaction to this little girl's presence was curiosity, but not fear. Each time the Barinis had heard Serena's voice, something bad had happened to the family. They came to believe that her appearances foretold danger. The day after Rose heard Serena for the first time, her daughter was scheduled to have her tonsils out. But sadly, and frighteningly enough, her daughter's heart stopped during the operation, and she almost died. The next time little Serena's voice was heard, it was just before Joe's grandmother suffered a stroke. Then her voice was heard again a month later, just before his grandmother died. After this, Joe heard Serena's voice one last time. He was awoken up to the sound of Serena's voice when he discovered Rose was choking in her sleep. She told him afterward that she dreamed her ex-husband was strangling her. All was quiet in the Barini home for several years. Then, in early 1981, the couple started to see the apparition of a small boy dressed all in white. Again, Joe had made inquiries of his family and discovered that his father's younger brother, Giorgio, had died in the home at the age of 8. He was buried in his all-white communion suit. Rose first saw Giorgio's apparition walking in the upstairs hall in the middle of the night. She was not afraid upon seeing him. She recounts she felt a strong sense of peace. She watched his apparition for over an hour before he disappeared. During this encounter, Rose's sense of peace was shattered when the young boy spoke to her. He said, "Where do all the lonely people go? Where do I belong?" After this, Joe watched one evening as Giorgio's kneeled on the hallway culprit. It appeared as if he was intently searching for something. Joe, now curious, pulled up the carpet in this area the next day. What he found was a religious medal on a broken chain. Once again, the Barini family was not afraid of this young ghost. Giorgio's ghost made frequent nightly appearances. He always seemed distressed about something. He would often answer questions the Barinis asked him. At one point, he announced that Carlos, his twin brother, who was still alive and living nearby, had taken something from the house that belonged to him. The family could not figure out what this item was. Another night, when he appeared, he announced to the Barinis, "My oldest brother is the only one that can help me." This statement made Joe wonder if maybe Giorgio was confusing him for his father, who had been Giorgio's older brother. After this, the couple took a friend's advice and tried to just ignore the activity. But after the last encounter with Giorgio's ghost, the activity in the hill became much darker in nature. That very night, the phone in the Barini household bedroom was flung off the bedside table by unseen hands. Over time, this phone continued to be flung violently off this table, according to the Barinis. That was stated over a dozen times. Now, Joe was now concerned, and he called his parents to warn them that Giorgio might visit them. But as he discussed this apparent poltergeist activity with them, every time he mentioned Giorgio's name, the phone went dead. And again, they tried to ignore the activity. But in June of 1981, darker things started to happen, and it was very disturbing. Now this is when the third entity showed up. The family described this entity as a dark male that appeared to be a hunchback. He had very large feet and a gruff voice. They bravely questioned this entity to determine who he might be. But he always gave evasive answers. And he would always tell them that he was a minister of God. And believe you me, it wasn't before long they didn't believe him. He was no minister of God. The phone continued to be flung off its hook, and the poltergeist activity increased with both frequency and intensity. Whenever Rose prayed with her rosary, the entity would try to distract her with a string of obscenities. Religious items in the home went missing, or they were broken. In various rooms in the home, furniture was moved or rolled over. A daughter's desk was found violently pushed down the stairs. All three of them, Rose, Joe, and their daughter, were all hit by items that were thrown. Rose was the target of most of this abuse. A bedside lamp fell, striking her on the head. Another time, the freezer door was flung open, hitting her in the head. While sitting at the kitchen table, something twisted her arm behind her back, and then her head was jerked so far to the side she started to choke. Things worsened. Joe saw Rose pulled from the bed. She levitated above the bed, and then she was dropped to the floor. After this attack, bruises were discovered on her arms and legs, where unseen hands were forcibly gripped upon her. 2 months after the hunchback first made an appearance, he now became even more violent. One night, after Joe left for work, Rose heard a series of loud bangs on her bedroom wall. The walls literally shook. When her bed rose from the ground, she tried to leave the room, but the doors slammed shut in her face. When she managed to open the door, her dog was growling at something unseen. She went to her children's bedrooms, but the doors shut violently on her, and then she was knocked off her feet by an unseen force and dragged back to her bedroom. invisible hand started to choke and scratch her. She managed, somehow, to call Joe, and he rushed right on home. Whenever he had entered the bedroom, he saw the bed lurching repeatedly off the floor. He found Rose curled up in a ball in the corner of the room, clutching her crucifix. The next morning they entered their kitchen, they saw a carving knife embedded into their kitchen table. They moved out of that house for a month. During this period, they arranged for a priest to do a ceremony similar to an exorcism. This worked for when the Barinis moved back into their home, and they no longer saw any apparitions or had any poltergeist activity. Joe invited the PRA, the Psychical Research Foundation, based in North Carolina, to investigate the home. In this group's case summary, they call the family Barini, the pseudonym. This organization was able to verify many of the couple's claims, one reason being many of the Barini's friends, family, and neighbors had seen the apparitions and witnessed the poltergeist activity themselves. And I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for today's episode. And I want to do a special thanks to Nina for joining us for tonight's episode. Her story was really terrifying and fascinating at the same time. And I hope to see more of her on Demimonde Paranormal. Also, may this be a reminder for any of you who would like to come on Demimonde Paranormal and share your paranormal story, you're more than welcome. You can come on the show or you can write in to us to be featured on an episode of Demimonde Paranormal. That being said, I wish you guys to have a great day, sweet dreams, a great night, stay safe, make good choices, be kind to one another. And I will see you this coming Friday for an all-new episode of Demimonde Paranormal. Sweet dreams. Stay spooky, and as always, thanks for tuning in for Demimonde Paranormal to all of my listeners from all around the world. And also, let's just remember one thing from the great H.P. Lovecraft. And to quote him, I say, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown.